3:05, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday, and it is toasty, kids. Depending exactly where you are, 98, 99. You heard Matt DiNardo, chief meteorologist over there at 8 News, say, hey, it's going to be with us for a while. You start putting that, what is it, the heat index? It's 110 degrees out. That's what it feels like. Man, that's hot. Even Heidi admits it. Yeah, you know, Heidi can melt. Told you this. She refuses to acknowledge the wind chill. She said it's all fictional and made up. But heat index, oh, that's real. That's real. So, listen, it's hot to the point of being dangerous. And I start with that. I know there's a lot of stuff going on, and we'll be talking about all of it, make no mistake. But it really is hot to the point of being dangerous for humans as well as for animals. And so I would ask you, please, to be aware of that and take whatever precautions you need to do what you need to do. Yes, President Trump now has not only made history, he has saved the world. The bombing this past weekend of the 3 nuclear weaponry sites owned and operated by the lunatics in Iran was vital to saving America, saving Israel, saving the Middle East, saving the world. And I can tell you that all you need to look at are the responses to understand what really happened, why it really happened, who is grateful for it happening, and then to also look at some of the absolute political hacks and frauds. Let's start with who is grateful. Well, Israel is grateful, correct? Everybody wants to point to Israel first. All right, so let's point to Israel first. Israel is grateful. Take a look around the Middle East. Who else is grateful right about now? Jordan is grateful. Saudi Arabia is grateful. Oman and Bahrain, Kuwait, even Qatar, grateful. How about that? Anybody else? Iraq. Every nation in the Middle East. Syria. Syria, which up until a couple of months ago had been operated, if you will, by the corrupt, deranged Assad family, which was allied with Iran. The leaders in Syria said thank you. Every one of the Middle East nations is grateful. Did you notice how there were no condemnations, no negative comments on the part of any Middle East nations? Why? Well, because they understood fully the threat that Iran posed. So many people, because of their anti-Semitism, and that's what's at play here, make no mistake about it. It's a good chunk of Jew hatred that we're seeing. So many people focused only on Israel. Well, you know, Israel's forcing America to do this. Bibi Netanyahu, you know how he is. I saw one post not too long ago. Well, I saw a couple of them like this, but here's the essence of it. Bibi Netanyahu, you know, he's a pushy Jew, and he must have some Epstein files on Trump, and that's why he was able to force Trump to do this. That's what they said. You would not believe the number of people. Oh, yeah, that's absolutely right. Well, yeah, of course. That's sure. Okay. How about this? How about looking at the other nations of the Middle East, since you clearly don't like Bibi Netanyahu? You clearly don't like Israel. I would say, by extension, if you posted that, you clearly are an anti-Semite. I just want you to know that. You may not want to admit it, but you are. And those people who agreed with whoever this person was, and there were a lot of them, you're also anti-Semites. Congratulations. Mazel tov. Hey, how's that make you feel? But with all of that being said, please take a look at the rest of the Middle East. Those nations didn't stand up and say, how dare Israel do this? How dare the United States do this? They said, thank you. How was Israel able to operate so quickly and efficiently in Iran and gain control of Iranian airspace? They did it because of the cooperation of other Middle East nations. Make no mistake about that. Israel did the heavy lifting, the wet work, for all the rest of the world. Will Israel ever get credit? No. Will Bibi Netanyahu get credit? No. That's okay. He was never doing it for the credit. How about Donald Trump, who said, we've got to do this? See, this is the fascinating thing. I'm looking at some of the assorted left-wing lunatics who are using this as an effort to attack President Trump. You have the usual suspects. You have Tiny Tim Kaine, who despises conservatives, despises Republicans, has a special contempt and hatred for Donald Trump, which, quite frankly, is sick. It really is sick. But he's got it. You've got the ever-constipated Mark Warner. Well, he's against it because Trump is for it. Nothing more, nothing less. And you've got some of the reliable suspects, the usual suspects, against it because, again, they just hate Trump. All right, well, we've noted it for the record. Honest to goodness, we wrote it down so we won't forget. We put it on a Post-it note. It's hanging on our fridge. You're good to go. We got it. You hate him. But you make no mistake. You are safer today as a result of what President Trump did.
Well, you know, the other day, Jeff, Donald Trump said he's going to wait. He's going to think about it for 2 weeks.
Right? It's almost as if people don't understand misdirection. It's almost as if people have never learned magic or stage performance. And then I thought, well, maybe they haven't. One of the key things you learn when you're learning magic is misdirection. Right? I'm doing something for you. I'm doing a trick for you. And you're watching me. And you're watching closely because everybody who's watching a magician wants to catch the magician, you know, doing the magic. Okay, well, I can have you watching me. But which hand are you going to be watching? I'm going to watch both of them. Okay, well, what if I start talking to you? I'm not going to look at you. Yeah, you are. And that's all the time that I need. I know not to look at a magician when he's talking to me because he's going to, well, okay. But I'm going to say something. I swear to you, I can get you to look at me. And that's all I need to do the trick. If you're involved in some other sort of stage performance, please remember, President Trump has a long-storied, well-recognized, accomplished career on television. There's nobody that knows how the cameras are rolling better than Donald Trump. I didn't like the fact, Jeff. I saw, you know, Trump was wearing one of those stupid MAGA hats in the Situation Room. No kidding. You know why? Well, because he just, no, I'll tell you why. Because Donald Trump is today, as he always has been, on message and pushing the brand. So that's the brand, kids. And the fact that left-wing lunatics are arguing about it and crying about it. My God, I can't deal with this. Hey, sweetheart, I got news for you. You're about 6 months into this administration. You got 3.5 years left. You're going to suffer even more, aren't you? Because you can't deal with reality. He looked terrible in that hat. Did he? You're talking about it. That's right. I'm telling you how stupid it is. Okay. Rest of us are saying, look at that. Damn, that guy is making America great again. Hey, how come Tulsi Gabbard wasn't there, Jeff? She was. Oh, there's a picture of her. All right, never mind. What President Trump did was to make the United States safer, to make the world safer. This is about strength. Now, it's about peace through strength. But before you get to that peace part, you've got to demonstrate the strength. Well, Iran just fired 6 missiles. Right. I got it. The handful of people who may be left in leadership in Iran, and we're going to assume it's still that supreme leader, because everybody else who gets promoted, right, they have the job for about 12 hours before they turn into a fine pink mist. So I don't think there's a big collection of folks, not a big cabinet meeting happening right now with the Supreme Leader. He is apparently in some sort of a cave bunker, and he's trying to get messages out. Yeah, maybe it's time to come to the table. I think it might be a little bit too late, because I think the Iranian people have looked at this and said, okay, this is our shot. This is our chance. I'd be willing to bet United States working with the Reza Pahlavi to return to power in some way. I think that's probably a very realistic situation. Anyway, I want to get your feedback on it. The James River Air text line is always available to you, 833-804-1140, 833-804-1140. You text and I will look at them, and if they're really, really good, I'll share them with everybody else. 833-804-1140, the James River Air text line. What do you make of this? Are you happy with it? Are you concerned? Are you scared? Are you filled with rage and hate and contempt for Donald Trump doing this? Or are you sitting back, as many of us are, and thinking, thank you, Mr. President. Thank you. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for making the world a safer place, not just for me, but for my kids, and who knows, someday for my grandkids. Speaking of grandkids, Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent out of the FBI, is going to be with us at 3:35. I know what you're thinking. You look at Jimmy and go, no way, yeah. Jimmy is he's grandpa now. And apparently he's having a really good time with him. I'm looking at some of those photos, man. He's like the best granddad of all time. But Jimmy Galliano is going to be with us at 3:35. What about the sleeper cells? Are there sleeper cells in the United States? Are they activated now? Is there going to be some sort of other issue we'll have to deal with? Jimmy Galliano will address it. It is 3:16, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRPA. 3:21, Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA. It is Monday afternoon, and, well, I got news for you. There's a fair amount of bombing in Iran as we speak. Israel, once again, striking in Iran. They struck a prison, the Evin prison. It is notorious for all sorts of torture being conducted on Iranian citizens. It's one of the places that gay people have been confined and tortured before their death sentence is carried out, because it's gay. It's illegal to be gay in Iran. If they find out you're gay, or they think you're gay, or you're using the old-fashioned word gay, but they think it means gay in 2025, they will throw you off a roof. That is their preferred method for executing gay people. So if I see a group of, quote, queers for Iran, somebody might want to have a chat with those folks. They also bombed the headquarters for the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. Good. Good. Oil prices have come down. Wait a minute, Jeff. Wasn't this supposed to be? Yeah, well, it was, right? Oh, you know, it's going to say oil, gasoline is going to be $12 a gallon. Well, remember who it is that buys the majority of oil from Iran, because Iran's oil cannot be sold on the open market due to sanctions. So 90% of the oil that is produced in Iran is sold to China, and it is it's sort of a backhand kind of a deal. Iran only receives a very, very small portion of what it would sell for on the open market. China knows they can do it. And then China doesn't even refine it at their usual refineries. They have very special kind of off-the-grid black market refineries they utilize. And when they do that, they then make it available. So what happens? Well, if in fact there's no way for China to get any oil, yeah, well, China's going to be forced down to the open market, and that's going to be a problem, right? That could and would drive up prices, because it's the free market. It's supply and demand. However, you will notice Israel has not struck any Iranian petroleum facilities. Iran's parliament says they're going to close the Straits of Hormuz. That could be problematic if, in fact, they had the ability to do it. It does not appear that they do. 540 on the James River Air text line, 833-804-1140. Jeff, how come Mark Warner and Tim Kaine are never asked why Obama gave Iran billions of dollars in cash? Democrats are responsible for this mess. Trump is cleaning it up. That is Mr. D in Hanover. 804, Jeff, Tiny Tim Kaine almost had his hair fully combed when he made the TV rounds yesterday. Nice. Jeff, the Columbia terror student is already organizing Iran protests. Joe in Harper's Ferry, West Virginia says, Jeff, this is long past due. If we had done this in 1979, we wouldn't have the problem we have today. Dave from Claremont, I applaud President Trump's action. This was the thing that needed to be done. I'm glad he took the bull by the horns. It is about time. Wow. All right. I've got more great texts coming in. I'll share those with you. We have our dear friend, Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent, joining us in just a moment. And I know I'm late, Germ, but I have to say this. Today, the 23rd of June, is a very special day, and we have to acknowledge it. I'd like to hear a round of applause in all of Central Virginia for our dear friend, drum roll, please, Emily Morrissey. Yep, Emily Morrissey of emilysbracelets.com. Today is celebrating her 27th birthday, and I'm telling you, we all need to celebrate Emily's birthday today. Happy birthday, Emily Morrissey. We love you. 326. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. 335. Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is Monday, and it is hot. 98 or 99. Couple of spots, I guess, have actually hit the 100-degree mark. The heat advisory, the extreme heat warning, has been extended. So, again, I know we're asking a lot of questions. Is it hot enough for you? It is hot enough for you. It is dangerous hot just about for any living creature. So, be aware of that. Don't forget the pets. Don't forget yourself, for sure. But don't forget the pets, man, because when you add in that heat index, we're talking about 110, and it is just brutal. We did it, did we? Did we take out the nuclear program, the nuclear weaponry program that Iran has been operating for all these years? Well, it certainly seems like it. What happens next? What about national security concerns? What about sleeper cells in the United States? Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, is someone who has a spot-on perfect perspective on all of this, and that's why we're so fortunate to have him join the program today. Jimmy, thank you for being here, sir.
Jeffrey, my friend, it's a little warm down there in Central Virginia, but I want to tell you, we're up here in New York, we're pushing 95 degrees today, so we're we're boiling the same as you are.
Well, then I would say I feel your pain. There you go. That's enough. We're all getting through it together. But, you know, I will remind you, before we get into the slightly more serious stuff, a tall, cool, frosty beverage will help you deal with the weather. That's all I'm going to say.
True words, my friend, were never spoken.
Thank you. See, I am good for something. All right. Jimmy, we, the United States of America, dropped six of these bunker busters, took out, as I understand it, this nuclear weapons facility. We had Tomahawk missiles, like 400 of them, missiles coming from 400 miles away, rather, hitting the other two facilities. Tell me, where are we? What are the national security implications right about now?
Well, Jeff, I'm always amused when I hear people, try to spin the argument for the Iranian mullahs. And look, Iran is a country of wonderful people and wonderful culture. And unfortunately, since 1979, and you and I are old enough to remember the 444 days where, our embassy was taken over and our people, our soldiers and diplomats were held hostage there. Until President Reagan was elected and blessedly had them return.
That's right.
It's been 46 years. We've had this very strained relationship with them. Much, if not all, but I would say much of the terrorism that is imported around the globe, Jeff, is sponsored by Iran. That's why, the unfreezing of assets during the Obama administration and the sadly named pallets of cash that was given back to Iran We know it wasn't going towards, you know, the health, safety, and welfare of the Iranian people. It wasn't feeding the hungry and housing the homeless.
That's right.
And, Jeff, I say this to some of my friends, some of my military friends, and some of my neighbors here in upstate New York, you know, who, well, you had to give these, you know, the sanctions a chance to work, and the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action that, you know, Ben Rhodes and the Obama, you know, team put together. Yeah. Jeff, here's my question to them. Why did we have to get bunker buster bombs that could travel 300 meters below the surface of the earth in order to take out places where they were enriching uranium well past what they were allowed to do? Why were they down there in these deep, dark caverns? And it was to keep it away from the world. God bless Israel. God bless the United States. Now, that's my spin up, Jeff, to you asking me, what are the national security implications here? Well, last week when the president was in Canada for the G7, he left rather abruptly. We all knew that something was up. He returned, met with his national security team. And apparently there, NBC News and some other outlets have reported that he had gotten word that Iranian sleeper cells were, you know, set to be or poised to be launched if needed inside our country. Now, you know, for the folks that this might be a little too much inside baseball on, but what is a sleeper cell? So we know that terrorists have a goal, right? And their goal is to use violence or intimidation or the threat of same in order to pursue political, ideological, or religious goals. Well, this checks all the boxes with the theocracy and the mullahs and in Iran.
Yep.
What is a sleeper cell? So a sleeper cell is where a country secretes some of their operatives inside another country, and they go about their life. They're living next door. You don't know who they are, and they are waiting for direction from their hostile nation state, in this case Iran, to potentially launch some type of terror attack. Now, you know, what is the reality of that? Well, you know, the border czar, the former ICE director Tom Holman, was on the news the other night, and he talked about, you know, at the southern border. And we always talk about how dangerous it is to leave that southern border, about the migrant that's coming here from Mexico or Guatemala and just wants to, you know, make a better life for his family. But it's right. The fact that they found Iranian passports and prayer rugs, you know, secreted along the 2,000-mile border between the United States and Mexico. Now, you know, could these be innocuous? Sure. Could these be, you know, indicative of something more sinister? Absolutely. And Jeff, as we always talk about, and I'll wind my soliloquy up with this, the bad guys only have to be right once. The good guys, we can't make a mistake. We cannot allow something to happen. The bad guys just have to get lucky once. So is this a concern? Yes. Is the intelligence community on this and had heads up about this and had been monitoring this before? The answer is yes, but that's kind of where we are right now, Jeff, is that we should be on some type of alert. I believe the National Terrorism Advisory System put out a warning over the weekend, and basically they talked about a heightened threat environment involving cyber operations and hacktivists and things like that.
Okay.
But we're obviously most concerned about a terror attack where somebody would try to hurt Americans, and that's what the intelligence community and law enforcement is poised to prevent right now.
Now, Jimmy, let me remind everybody, Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, is joining us. Jimmy, let me ask you, because you talked about how the sleeper cells in particular, they are waiting for the instructions from their handlers in that enemy territory. Now, I'm looking at Iran, and I'm thinking, I have never seen a better recruitment poster for the Peter principal and mid-level management than what's happening in Iran, because everybody gets promoted. They're in the office for about 12 hours before they turn into a fine pink dust. So is there anybody left over there to give orders to the sleeper cells?
Well, I'll say this, and Jeff, you and I have great respect for the IDF and for the Mossad over in Israel. I mean, their grasp of intelligence, their courage and backbone, this tiny little country, that has taken on a nation of 90 million people, a nation that sponsors, you know, terror cells across the globe, helps finance Hamas, certainly supports Hezbollah. It's incredible what they have done. Jeff, this is, remember the argument right after 9/11 where the Patriot Act came into place and people were concerned, and it comes up every time this piece of legislation has to be renewed in Congress. And what is, to sum it up, what does a Patriot Act allow us to do? Mm-hmm. It allows us to eavesdrop, to intercept communications with anyone that might be in communication with a foreign terror organization or a foreign terrorist. Now, it's different than what we can do to U.S. citizens, right? We can't eavesdrop without a court-ordered warrant. But the Patriot Act allows us to gather metadata. And then, Jeff, it's just the painstakingly time-consuming, you know, effort of grinding through that. You know, you have to translate it from Farsi and Pashtun and Urdu and Arabic or any other language, Russian, Chinese, and try to determine, you know, what is something sensitive enough that we need to act, that we need to do something. And that's where we are right now is basically listening. We have signal intelligence, we do the intercepts on, and we have human intelligence. We have agents that are out in the field and interacting with folks and trying to detect or determine if a sleeper cell exists. And again, the other threat you have, Jeff, are the lone wolves. Is it somebody that just watched the news and got angry at the United States and got angry at the ICE deportations and got angry at the bombing of the three nuclear sites in Iran and decides to do something without any communication? Those are the tough ones as well. So, Jeff, as you can tell, law enforcement has a lot on their plate right now to keep us safe.
Let's talk about some of the activities that we might see from law enforcement. There are people, as you say, they're concerned. We talk about Patriot Act, and we got to listen in to what's coming from Iran. We see folks here in the United States who are already trading flags. I mean, it's amazing to me to watch the leftists who, you know, they had a Mexican flag and then they traded it for a Hamas flag, and this week it's an Iran flag, right? Whatever the issue of the day is, they've decided they have to protest that. Do we continue seeing that sort of stuff? Does law enforcement have to continue focusing on that, even as, well, as an example, in Los Angeles? I mean, we're still seeing all sorts of activities out there. Do we have enough law enforcement officers on the line to handle all of these threats at once?
Well, I mean, the question is, do we have enough law enforcement to handle it? Yes. The question becomes, do we have the political will and stomach to enforce our laws, which says, yes, the First Amendment allows the right to free speech, the right to peaceably assemble, the right to air your grievances publicly to your government. It allows all that. It doesn't allow you to block traffic. It doesn't allow you to hold people, commuters and motorists, essentially hostage because you want to get out and protest something. And Jeff, it's almost glorious, and I say that dripping with sarcasm because I know sarcasm is something you appreciate. But it's almost glorious to watch the intersectionality where you have, you know, people that are so high on women's rights, and then they salute the Iranian administration where women get beaten and hanged and tortured because yep. they colored their hair or they exposed their arms or they didn't wear a burqa. It's just it's absolute insanity, Jeff, and to watch the cause du jour on the streets of New York City right now, it's almost like America has fatigue. We have fatigue yes. with all these protests. You know, it's like 1968 at the Democratic National Convention, every single day in New York and L.A. and Atlanta and Richmond, and people are exhausted by it. We want to go to work. Yep. We want to do good things in our country and treat everybody equally. We want to be sympathetic to causes. But I think, Jeff, the fatigue, people are getting worn out by this. And I think you saw that in the last election in November. And I have a feeling if the tunes don't change before the midterms, you may see more of the same.
That's boy, that's great insight. I would hope that even the people who are in Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's district are looking at her going, all right, we get it. But, you know, how about doing something for this district? Because she was out there when the The Columbia guy got released. I saw wrapped in a keffiyeh, and she's out there to celebrate with him. I don't know. Some of this stuff, I must say, is just lost on me. But we talk about law enforcement. We always do this. Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI, is with us. Jimmy, you serve on the board of directors for the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. I happen to believe it's a vitally important organization. I urge people to support it regularly. And obviously, when you're on with us, I really want you to take a moment or two, remind everybody what the organization does and how we can help.
Well, Jeff, I always appreciate this. And look, the organization has been around since the mid-1990s. It was started by former Attorney General Edwin Meese, who is still on the board and still weighs in on our meetings and is just a font of information and guidance. And it's a wonderful mission, which basically sets out to provide material support, financial support for law enforcement officers who were unjustly accused of crimes. And, Jeff, no better time than today where we have so many of these progressive prosecutors in a lot of these deep blue cities that seek out reasons to charge police officers for doing their job. So your listeners can go to policedefense.org. That's policedefense.org, and take a look at the cases. And if you want to make a donation, you can make it to that specific officer or that specific case. And Jeff, we always appreciate you giving us a platform to mention the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund.
Absolutely. Well, again, you're doing vital work. I'm just thrilled with what's going on. By the way, I shared with my listeners, and everybody was shocked. I said, you know, Jimmy Galliano is very, very active in the world of granddadding, because I'm looking at some of these photos, my friend, and for all of your hardened military law enforcement career, dude, you're just pulling this off. You're like everybody's favorite grandpa. I'm taking notes every time I see one of your pictures get up there.
Well, if you think when you have your first baby as a parent that it softens you, Jeff, wait until you hold your first grandchild. It is a cathartic moment, and it's been a joy. The nice thing is you get to keep them for a little while, and then when they get fussy, you get to hand them back to their parents. I think that's pretty much the plan since the dawn of time.
I love it. Well, Jimmy, I always appreciate you making time, brother. Deal with the heat. Get down south at some point. We'd love to have you, of course, and we'll talk to you soon, sir.
Look forward to it, Jeff. You take care.
Thank you, my friend. That is Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. Policedefense.org, that is the website for the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. It is Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA.